You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio, where we keep you informed, engaged, and entertained. And we have so much to talk about today about your Montreal Canadiens for episode number 347 of the Canadiens Connection. This week's show entitled Key Priorities: What the Habs Must Accomplish This Summer. It's going to be a big one. It's going to be a good one. Lots to talk about. Let's do some introductions first. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm going to be your host for today's show. And I'm very pleased every week to be joined in the studio by my co-host, who is the founder and president here at Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens. How are you doing today, sir?
We have a lot to talk about, about the Montreal Canadiens in this show and the pre-show. I keep saying we should record the pre-show and do a Patreon thing or, you know, something like that. We had fascinating discussions about renaming the arena in Philadelphia, about the breakup of Yugoslavia, which...
At little, yeah.
Well, no, but
1990s geography history lessons.
It led to the creation of Slovenia in 1991, and Slovenia is related to our hockey discussion. We'll get to that in a minute with the IIHF World Championships. They got off to their start this week.
Mm-hmm. They did, and there were some Habs there as mm-hmm. well. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. In fact, here's what you can look forward to on today's show. As always, the first segment, three segments, if you're new around here, welcome. And each show is broken into three segments. Our first segment is typically all of the news and notes about the Canadiens, their prospects, and the NHL in general from the last week. And so we're going to talk a little bit about... World Championships. We're going to talk a bit about the Habs prospects. We're going to talk a little bit about the NHL draft lottery. There's also some NHL coaching news that we're going to talk about. There's all sorts of things happening. So lots of really good information about the Habs and their prospects in the first segment. Then in the second segment, that's where we hit our big topic of the week, where we get real deep dive into the focus of today's show, and that is Gorton and Hughes discussing key priorities for the summer ahead and beyond. Basically, in-depth breakdown of the end-of-season press conference that Jeff Gorton and Kent Hughes held earlier this week. And we're going to focus mostly on what is shaping up to be their key priorities for the Habs in this offseason and what they need to accomplish to keep their plan moving forward.
They said the rebuild's over, right?
They did not. They did not say that.
Well, what did they say?
Well, we're going to talk about that. Yeah. And we're going to hear from them as well. We're going to play you a bunch of clips from the press conference and kind of analyze them, what they said, what they didn't say, read between the lines, those kinds of things. Lots of great information to cover there. And then in our third segment, we're going to introduce you to this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. That's where we want you to write in and let us know your thoughts on a specific question. And we're going to pick the best answers and read them out on next week's show. And we'll get you caught up on things to be looking forward to in the coming week between now and our next episode. So it's going to be a really good show today. The off season has officially started, and it promises to be an exciting off season with lots of potential for next year's roster and next year's team. So, looking forward to getting the off season and today's show started. So first let's dive right into, what Rick was talking about, which is the, men's world championships that are going on right now, the IIHF, world championships. Should mention that there's a couple of Habs, three Habs actually, who are representing different countries. Talking about Team Canada, who has actually just opened their tournament earlier today. Today is Saturday, with a 4-0 shutout against Slovenia.
The aforementioned
Slovenia. And of the Team Canada roster, there is a very familiar name on the back end, and that would be defenseman Mike Matheson, who is on the roster.
Mike Matheson, he was the 15th or 16th player to be announced as a member of Team Canada. First time that he's done this before. He's represented Canada in 2016 and 17. He sounded excited to go over. Of course, he's one of the question marks that that I think is going to be debated over the summer. What role is he going to play? Is he going to be playing 25 minutes again when you have Alain Hudson? You have Caden Gooley, who the pairing have kind of taken over. So Mike Matheson, I think, wants to reassert that he can be valuable and is going to play some extra games and maybe audition for other teams who may need his services. We're not going to be going through a breakdown of each and every game, but mostly focus on how the Canadians players are doing at the World Championships. Mm-hmm. No points for Matheson today. Yes, Canada beat Slovenia 4-0 in their opening contest.
They did. Hockey Canada, of course, announcing just briefly before their tournament began that Sidney Crosby would be captaining their team, Nathan MacKinnon and Ryan O'Reilly serving as the alternates. It was last year's Worlds tournament was pretty fun to watch, I'm sure this year's will promise to as well.
Can I repeat what you just said? Sidney Crosby is at the World Championships, yeah, and he's captaining Team Canada.
Yeah,
that's pretty important because it's not something Sidney Crosby has done a lot of, and either he's been in the playoffs or he's been kind of recovering from a long, tough season and letting any injuries heal. Mm-hmm. But he thought it was important to get over there to Sweden and serve as Canada's captain. So did Nathan MacKinnon. Mm-hmm. So did Ryan O'Reilly. Why would that be? Well, the Olympics coming up So you know how important the participation in this tournament is for selecting the participants for the Olympics. Now, how does that relate to the Montreal Canadiens? Well, Nick Suzuki had said that he was unsure whether he would be joining Team Canada because he was pretty banged up, I think was the phrase that he used. And he was going to have to get medical clearance. It appears that mm-hmm. he hasn't gotten that clearance to join Team Canada. And what will that say about, his inclusion in the Olympic team come February?
Absolutely. It'll be, we said this before, we said it last year as well, you know, anyone who isn't going to choose to go to these tournaments, you have to understand that there could be, it doesn't mean it's a guarantee, but there could be consequences. And so, you know, Cole Caulfield was at his end of season press conference, was up in the air as to whether or not he was going to go to Worlds. He obviously did not. Lane Hutson was the same. And as you said, Nick Suzuki said he, you know, needed some medical clearance, those types of things. Just anyone who voluntarily chose not to attend Worlds, not to accept an invitation at Worlds, do not complain if you don't get chosen for the Olympic roster. just a fair warning. And I'm not saying X, you know, one equals the other, but sometimes those decisions can be weighted for certain things. Mike Matheson is not the only Montreal Canadian representing their country at Worlds. Emil Heineman is there on Team Sweden, and he's already making an impact.
Yeah, in their first game, and on the first goal that Sweden scored, it was Mikael Backlund who scored Sweden's first goal of the tournament. That was assisted by Emil Heineman. He made an amazing pass to put the Swedes up 1-0, and then he just did Heineman kind of things the rest of the game in forechecking and backchecking and giving very little space to the Austrians. We should say that Sweden then had their second game on Saturday, and they squeaked out it would have been a big upset for the Austrians to it was Slovakia in the first game, Austria in the second game against Sweden. The Austrians were leading until Sweden scored two goals in the third with like 12 seconds. They were like 12 seconds apart, something like that, went on to a 4-2 win. And talking about Austria, well, there's a Canadians connection there, too.
There is. Young Vincent Rohrer, the right winger, is playing for Austria. And he's also already got a point in the tournament.
He's been playing for the Lions, as we know, been playing for the Lions in the National League, the Swiss League. He is just 20 years old, a third round pick in 2022, 75th overall by the Canadians, and participating in this tournament. And, you know, when we talk about prospects, I think his participation here says, don't forget about me.
That's right. So, of course, we're going to keep tabs, as Rick said, on the Canadians who are playing in the World Championship tournament. And we'll keep you updated each week on how they are progressing. Should be very fun to watch. Obviously, it's the off season, so roster news is going to trickle in here and there. There isn't any specific roster news for the Canadians this week. So what we want you to do is to be sure that you are following at Rocket Sports on X. That is our main Twitter account. And so watch out for us to share any news about Canadians pending RFAs and UFAs, contract discussions, anything that might be going on with anyone on the roster. We'll be sure to talk about it here on the show when and if that happens.
Like what you say. Well, at the end of season media availability, Yoel Armia said that contract discussions had begun. So we'll watch for that. Also in the media availability with Kent Hughes and Jeff Gordon that we're going to talk about in a minute, it was, you know, there's a willingness to get a contract done early for Lane Hutson. And so those are the kinds of things that we're going to be paying attention to in the off season.
Definitely. For now, there's actually a lot going on with Habs prospects, so let's take a dive into the Habs prospect report this week.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
And first, we are going to start with, it's been a couple of weeks since we did a prospect highlight. Do you remember the name Quentin Miller? Goaltender Quentin Miller, who, no longer in the queue. He is playing for the Chilliwack Chiefs these days.
We do remember him, and we talked about him this season on the podcast. But when you talk about young goaltenders, the focus tends to be on Caden Primo, Jakub Dobish, Jacob Fowler. But in the 2023 draft, Quentin Miller was picked up in the fourth round by the Canadiens, 128th overall, played on the Quebec Ramparts that Quebec Ramparts team that where he found himself to be he was the backup and then he the following season he was off to an okay start. The Ramparts were not a great team that following year. He was traded to Rimouski. He got injured, and the first part of this season he was in recovery. And remember, we talked about that it was kind of odd that there was no one in the queue that would bring him on, would offer him a job. So he went to the BCHL and found a home there with the Chilliwack Chiefs. He played 10 games during the regular season, 8-2 record, 229 goals against, 923 save percentage. Well, that team, the Chilliwack Chiefs, is in the BCHL playoffs. They were facing off against the Victoria Grizzlies in the Coastal Conference final. That on Friday night, Chilliwack beat Victoria 5-4, and they won the series 4-1. And Chilliwack now is going to go on to reach the Fred. They have reached the Fred Page Cup final. That's the championship in the BCHL. That's the first time for Chilliwack since 2017. Miller has been sensational in the playoffs. He has a record of 12-5-0, 190 goals against, 937 save percentage. He's been very, very good.
Wow.
Obviously, a good decision for him to go to the BCHL. And we also know that he is committed to the University of Denver. Great program in the NCAA. There was news about the Denver Pioneers this week. Their coach, David Carl, signed, a very good coach. And some thought he would be coming to the NHL this season. Re-upping and continuing on. So, boy, everything is working out for Quentin Miller. Not a direct path necessarily to his dream, but setting himself up very nicely and is having a great deal of success.
And that's one of the things that we've consistently tried to help fans understand, is that really every prospect takes a different path to move up through the leagues and in their career. What is it that you always like to say, that there's no, it's not exactly linear?
That's right.
And so, yeah, this has kind of been all over the map for Quentin Miller so far, but glad to see he's getting some success, and a move to the University of Denver can only help improve things. So good luck to him. Talking about prospects means there's going to be new prospects for the Canadiens in just a short amount of time, because the 2025 NHL draft is right around the corner. And the draft lottery took place this week, with the New York Islanders winning, moving up from number 10 to number 1. I mean, it was, whoo.
How did that happen?
My goodness.
And this was the new format. We talked about it last week that, it was the new format where they presented the draft as it happens, loading two different draws, loading the balls, the four number code coming up, matching it, the accountant matching that to the, grid sheet, the decoding sheet, as it was. And we said, we don't know how this is gonna go, because usually that was all kind of hidden, and they did the countdown, flipping the cards. This was different. And I was worried at the beginning because, you know, when they got into the weeds, explaining the rules and the process, you can see everybody's eyes kind of roll back in the back of their head. And I don't think they did a very good job. We both said, gee, it's going to be a real challenge for the TV production crew and the cool graphics they're going to have to explain. They didn't have any graphics.
No.
Until it got going. And once they got it in, they put the balls in and the guy was, you know, blindfolded essentially and start and drop. And it looks silly. It really does. Except the one great thing they did was update the odds on a real-time basis.
Mm-hmm.
And they X'd out the teams that were eliminated. Well, they didn't X. I said that. They should put big X's through the general manager's faces. They didn't do that. But
they struck a line through them and kind of dimmed them.
Yeah, on the chart.
Yeah.
Not through the video of the guys sitting there.
No.
Which would have been more fun. But anyway, it actually got kind of exciting, I think.
A little bit.
They need to tweak it a bit, but
I think so.
I think it worked out, even though it mostly had little to do with the Montreal Canadiens, but we'll talk about that in a minute. And especially I think, you know, had it been a boring draft like last year, where there was absolutely no movement, you had two teams making enormous jumps.
Mm-hmm.
The Islanders from 10 to 1 and Utah from 14 to 4.
Yeah.
So incredible. The odds, Islanders had just a 3.5% chance of winning the lottery, defied the odds, and they won it. And you had to feel a little bit for San Jose Sharks, but they get the number 2 pick, Chicago, with a 3rd selection.
They do. And they had the number 1 last year, so it'll be all right. The Canadiens get back-to-back picks in the first round. They'll be selecting at 16th and 17th overall.
So the 16 pick is the 17 pick is their own. 16 pick is the Calgary Flames. And Calgary didn't move up. Had they moved up, the Canadiens would end up with a Florida pick, being given that the pick was protected. So you know all that.
Right.
So they end up with 16 and 17 consecutively. And now it's up to the Canadiens to decide what they're going to do or package things together to move up. I don't think they're going to be able to get that second line center that they're going to need at that point. But another opportunity. And they've got, you know, they got a lot of picks in this upcoming draft, an opportunity to add a good deal of young talent again.
Definitely. Of course, now that the lottery is done, it means the first editions of this year's mock drafts are coming out. And so, Rick, what's the landscape starting to look like?
Well, The Athletic put out their first mock draft 1.0 this week, and we're going to debate it. We're not going to give you backgrounds or anything like that. Just give you a sense of the names that you're going to be hearing. So this mock the Islanders are picking first. Matthew Schaefer, defenseman for Erie, probably they're looking to get the top defenseman in the draft, and that seems like a good fit, which means Michael Misa would be available for the San Jose Sharks. They got a bunch of elite and top end forwards already, but he would be a nice add. Anton Frundell for Chicago. The Utah, what are they calling themselves? Well, we'll just call them Hockey Club for the moment. Kalen Denoyer from Moncton, the Predators taking James Higgins from Boston College. We talked about him through the year. The projection is in the mock that Montreal with the 16th pick via Calgary would be Lyndon Lakovic from Moose Jaw and Cameron Reed, a defenseman from my very favorite Kitchener Rangers.
All right. We know this is going to change many between now and the draft, but it means the fun season is beginning with the first first round of mock draft coming out. All right, let's talk about current prospects. Laval got through their first round, the division semifinal round for the Calder Cup playoffs. They were facing off against the Cleveland Monsters. And they did manage to put Cleveland away. They have advanced. How did they get there? Well, we know that the Rocket won both games in Cleveland. But then when they returned home, the Canadians, as we had talked about last week, were able to finally send, Caden Primo and Oliver Kapanen back down to Laval. And so Caden Primo got the start in game three, which was technically an elimination game that Cleveland was facing. But this was on home ice for Laval at Place Belle. But Cleveland managed to keep their season alive for another night. They beat Laval 3-1 in this game, which to me was, given that it was in Place Belle, we know how loud Place Belle can be, the environment and the atmosphere in there during the playoffs, especially. I was a little surprised to see Cleveland come in there with a victory, but they were desperate. Their backs were against the wall.
Full credit to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Going into such a hostile environment and getting the win.
Absolutely. Primo making 22 saves on 25 shots. It was not a friendly game. To say the least.
Yeah, I that was the other part that was unusual, is you look at the game sheet and all of the roughing and fighting and that went on in the first period. Not usual for a playoff game.
No, not usual. So that meant Cleveland extended the series, extended their season. And then in game four, Laval was like, okay, let's get back to our normal business. And they downed Cleveland 4-1, had three goals in the first period. They took a 3-0 lead after 20 minutes. Jacob Fowler was backstopping them this time. And he has just been lights out, particularly in the playoffs here already for Laval.
Yeah, and just a reminder about the goaltending situation. Caden Primo had got the call up to Montreal to back up Jakub Dobish when Sam Montembeau experienced the injury. So as it was turning over the net in Laval to Jacob Fowler, he got the two wins on the road to start the series. And then Jacob Fowler picked up that win at home to take his playoff record to 3-0, a 1.00 goals against, .953 save percentage, one shutout. And overall, with his adding in his regular season games, that gives him a 5-1 record overall in his pro career with the Rockets. So, going to be an interesting decision ahead for Pascal Vincent into who starts the next series.
Absolutely. And there will be a next series. As I said, they did finish off Cleveland that night, eliminated Cleveland, and won that series 3-1. It was a best of five series. So now Laval moves on to the North Division Finals. This will be another best of five series. They'll be playing against the Rochester Americans. That is always a tough matchup. It'll be fascinating to see how they do. And they kick off that series on Wednesday night in Rochester. However, Laval also making some moves of their own. They have signed, speaking of Habs prospects, they've signed defenseman Owen Protz to an ATO. And when I saw this news, my first reaction was he's gonna destroy somebody if he gets into a lineup. Owen Protz on an ATO, an amateur tryout with the Laval Rocket. I would love to see him get into a game.
Well, that was directly from the scouting report. When the Canadians selected him was he chooses violence when he steps on the ice. 2024 pick, round four, 102nd pick overall. And yes, he was last year playing for Sudbury Wolves at the OHL trade deadline, moved to Brantford. And in Brantford, he got to play with another Canadiens defensive prospect, Daniel Sobolev, and they made up the top pairing. This season, he's been playing with Adam Juracek. So he's had good players beside him, but he's had a terrific season, all his own. 5 goals, 27 assists, 32 points in 67 games, plus 11 rating. And in the playoffs, he had 5 assists and a goal for 6 points in 11 games and a plus 10 rating. So he's been very, very good, as well as being very, very physical for the Bulldogs. And it'd be nice to see him get into a game in this what is hoped to be a long playoff run for the Laval Rocket.
That's right. And what about that third goaltender that Laval had? What about Connor Hughes, who was having the rotation with Caden Primo for most of the season? Well, as was reported that he was likely going to go back to Europe, we now know where he is landing. The Lausanne Hockey Club.
That's right. They put out a press release saying that they were very excited to welcome back 28-year-old Swiss-Canadian international goaltender Connor Hughes for a 5-year contract. They've signed him to a 5-year contract and are very excited about it. And it's interesting, given that the playoffs are still going on for Laval. Connor Hughes had 29 games with Laval, a record of 15-15, 15-12-3, goals against 258, save percentage of 905, and he had 2 shutouts. He then off to a great start and then kind of cooled, and, you know, Jakub Dobish was good. Caden Primo was fabulous, and then we talked about Fowler at the end of the season. So seeing that there wasn't going to be a place for him next year, he has already taken care of not only next year, but the next 5 years in going to the National League in Switzerland.
Well, good luck to him. And then the next professional league down from that is the ECHL, the Trois Rivières Lions, continuing their run in the Kelly Cup playoffs. They are in the midst of their North Division finals against the Norfolk Admirals. That series is currently tied 2-2. And so game 5 of that round is set for Sunday in Norfolk. It will be all fingers and toes are crossed for the Trois Rivières Lions as they continue on in their run.
And they had been breezing through, and this is a real test for them. And we remember, we talked about it during the season, that Norfolk had given them their money's worth. Remember that stretch? It seemed like for 8 games they were playing Norfolk.
Yeah.
So this is a real test for the Lions, and we'll see what happens on Sunday.
Absolutely. Good luck to them. Okay, let's talk NHL. You just mentioned the Utah Hockey Club a few moments ago. Well, you can stop calling them that because they finally have branded themselves. And I think to no one's surprise, they're going to be known as the Utah Mammoth. It's been a long time coming, but the Mammoth is one out, hands down. Utah said it was, quote, the clear favorite, the, quote, prevailing choice. There was almost 1 million votes cast, according to Utah, about 850,000 votes cast for the name. And I think the logo looks fantastic. I think it's a really sharp looking logo.
So the logo is, and the logo's got some neat features is a mammoth, and there's a mountain in there, and there's all kinds of little Easter eggs in there.
Yeah.
The hashtag for the team is going to be Tusks Up.
I like that.
The tusks will appear on the pants and all of that, but it's going to be the same. You know, it was Utah Hockey Club this year, but they had their colors picked, and it'll be the same color palette. They call it Black Rock, Salt White, and Mountain Blue. And then with the Mountain Mammoth logo on the home jerseys, they're still going to have Utah on their spelled out on their away jerseys. I mean... My brother and I had a chat about this, and neither of us likes the any kind of team name that doesn't end in S. We've kind of lost that battle a while ago. And I guess that I wasn't crazy about Yeti, and they ran into some copyright issues. There was some we should say there was some copyright issues with Mammoth. There's a lacrosse team or something that has the name. Anyways, that's been worked out. I truly preferred, I thought Outlaws was, and it fit, ends in an S, but I thought it really fit with that whole area and region and it was a little edgy, and I really liked Outlaws, but what do I know?
What do you know?
I know.
Well, I think Mammoth is still pretty good. It'll be pretty fun. So congratulations to Utah. You now have an actual name. Speaking of teams out in the West, on Monday, the LA Kings and Rob Blake parted ways. And so there is now a new search for a new vice president and GM.
Mark Bergevin?
Maybe.
We'll see. He's going to be part of the mix for sure. Yarmo, our dear friend Yarmo Kekalainen, apparently is being discussed as well. We'll see what happens
We'll see what happens. On Wednesday, the Sabres announced that former NHLer Eric Staal has been hired as special assistant to the GM.
And we're mentioning this, of course, because of Eric Staal's association, a former Montreal Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
And any excuse I have to get Thunder Bay in.
That's
Eric
right.
Eric Staal. All the Staals, in fact, from Thunder Bay. So Eric Staal is going to be charged with being involved in, they say, all aspects of the hockey department, players, prospects, scouting, the whole bit.
And it's congratulations to him for that. The Islanders still looking for who is going to replace Lou Lamoriello as the GM. Over there. This is another place where Mark Bergevin's name has been coming up. However, Ken Holland seems to be leading the charts on the candidate who's gonna maybe get the job. But the Canadians, there's a Canadians connection on this one as well, isn't there?
The Islanders apparently contacted the Montreal Canadiens and asked permission to speak with Jeff Gordon. Pierre LeBrun says the answer they got back is that Gordon is in Montreal to stay.
All right, then. Just put an end to that right away. Coaching continues to be, there's changes, openings, interviewing, searches. One of them is off the board, Anaheim. On Friday, the Ducks announced that Joel Quenneville is their new head coach, replacing Greg Cronin.
Some controversy there, of course, but Pat Verbeek said they checked all the boxes, including players and the whole string of things to answer the questions that they had, and Quenneville passed the test.
As each round of playoff series comes to an end, the teams who are eliminated, we're going to start to see some vacancies crop up here and there as well. That is the case with the New Jersey Devils this week, who were eliminated by the Carolina Hurricanes. The Devils announcing that they're not going to renew two assistant coaches as well as their video coach, and in their AHL affiliate in Utica, a Comets assistant coach will also not be renewed.
They don't like their assistant coaches, so
apparently not.
They're done. Still some coaching vacancies as you go, and we'll update the coaching carousel as we go week to week.
That's right. As was expected, the Calder Trophy finalists were announced on Monday. Lane Hutson, obviously in that grouping, along with goaltender Dustin Wolf and Macklin Celebrini. Safe to say, there was more than a little bit of consternation out of Philadelphia on the Matvei Michkov snub on this one. What Michkov thinks about it, not really sure, but those are the three for your Rookie of the Year: Macklin Celebrini, Dustin Wolf, and Lane Hutson.
And certainly Michkov was in the conversation throughout the year when it came to the Calder, and I feel badly for the others, because Celebrini had a great season. Dustin Wolf had a great season. But this is Lane Hudson's award. It is his award. And we've talked about it, next season is going to be difficult as well. We should say, and some fans were surprised to read this, that that Lane Hutson is the first Canadiens Calder Cup Trophy finalist since Brendan Gallagher in 2013. Gallagher finished second in the voting in 2013. And
it's
it's been a while. If you and if you want to look for a winner, you have to go back even further. Michael Ryder was up for the award. He finished second in 2004. Shel Dahlin, oh, do we remember that name? He was third in 1986.
Okay.
Steve Penny and Chris Chelios were second and third in 1985. And to find the last Canadian to win the Calder, you have to go back to 1972, and none other than Ken Dryden.
All right, then. Well, good luck to Lane. It seems like it should be a natural decision. You never know till we know. So good luck to Lane Hutson on his nomination as a finalist for the Calder. All right, we are going to take our first break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. Coming up after we hear from our sponsors over at DraftKings, we are tackling this week's big topic where we are breaking down what Jeff Gorton and Kent Hughes discussed at their end of the season press conference earlier this week. And we're going to take a close look at their key priorities for the summer ahead and beyond to move their plan for the Canadians forward another step. You are not going to want to miss it. We've got lots of great audio coming up. It's going to be a fun segment. So stay with us. You are listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Ready to win some real cash during the basketball playoffs? Check out Pick 6 from DraftKings. When it comes to basketball payouts, DraftKings Pick 6 posterizes the competition, including prize picks. Hit all your picks and score higher minimum payouts on Pick 6, plus even more cash if you outscore the competition. Pick 6 is available in most states, including Missouri, California, Texas, Georgia, and more. New players get $50 in Pick 6 credits instantly on just a $5 entry. So download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to play $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Better payouts, bigger wins, only with Pick 6 from DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. 1 per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson. Hey, if you would like to follow me on X, you're welcome to do so. You can find me there at Flyers Rule. And of course, I'm joined by our president and founder here at Rocket Sports, my co-host, Rick Stevens. I mentioned this in the first segment, but you'll want to be sure you're following him on X as well, at Rocket Sports. That is our main account. That's the one you definitely want to be following. And hey, if you want to follow this podcast, the way to do that is at Habs Connection on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can find that at insidethecanadians.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Drop us a comment on YouTube. Send us a DM or a reply on social media. And you can always chime in on our Rocket Sports text line. That is 5853-ROCKET. If you've got questions, comments, answers to the question of the week, anything, send us a text 24/7 at 5853-ROCKET. All right. So on Monday, Jeff Corton and Kent Hughes sat down to talk to the media for one final time for this season, and shared their thoughts on really the challenges that remain for them to start solving this summer. They've come so far in the progression of their rebuild and the plan that they've got. They've made some strides, and now there's new challenges that lay ahead. Those are the next priorities that are up. But really, the Canadians really gave their fans a really exciting final couple of months of the season. They were the very last team to squeak into the playoffs. It's the first real taste of playoff hockey that fans have had for a while from the Habs. It was something I think Habs fans are hoping can be repeated soon. Keep bringing that excitement. But really to go any further and to keep that excitement coming season after season and really start to legitimately challenge for a Stanley Cup, there's still a lot of work to be done, Rick. There's a lot of work that still has to be done. The players are pleased with the progress, it seems. The management seems to be pleased with the progress. The fans are definitely happy right now. So where does that leave things? What does Jeff Gorton and Kent Hughes have to focus on this summer? And that really seemed to be a big talking point and central topic around their end-of-year press conference this week about where the key priorities are in this offseason to move them ahead again next year. Jeff Gorton was asked whether or not the Canadians making the playoffs accelerated their plan at all. And he responded by saying this.
I don't think it's fast-forwarding anything. I think we've come in here with a plan of what we want to do to rebuild this team. And I think it's certainly helpful in a lot of ways. The experience of it for our players, maybe to show the rest of the league what it could be like to play here. There's a lot of benefits from what the players were able to do this season, but we're certainly not, we're not done. There's a lot to do here, and it's just, like I said, it's been a real good year. It's been a fun year for everybody to be part of, and we're going to use it as a huge stepping stone as where we're going.
So yeah, there were, as he said, to use his words, there were a lot of benefits to this season. Everybody is happy with what happened, and even having that Bell Center and reminding both Canadians fans and visiting teams that this is what you're going to experience when the Canadians return to the playoffs and go on an extended run. So there were absolutely benefits, but let's be frank. It meant that there was two playoff home dates. There was a bonus of one extra win to the season. That's not enough. That's not quite enough. So that doesn't give Gorton and Hughes the permission to skip any steps. As he said, this doesn't accelerate the plan at all. We still have to go through the process.
And that's the kind of message that we've wanted to hear. I mean, Rick, at every stage throughout this process over the last few years, whether it's free agency, whether it's the trade deadline, any of those and every offseason, we've constantly kind of been a broken record saying, don't get distracted. Don't look at the shiny object. Stay the course, because the only way to become a perennial contender is to stay the course and see the plan through and not look for the instant gratification or the short-term wins. And so we were relieved to hear, you know, at the trade deadline that they weren't going to try to do anything that was going to sacrifice the youth who were coming up. And it's nice to hear that again, they're reaffirming that great that they made the playoffs. The kids learned a lot from it, but it's not going to necessarily change anything or speed anything up.
Yeah, I think the sense you got overall from the media availability was that they're cautiously optimistic, but there seemed to be an intention to dampen expectations that the city got revved up. Habs fans got absolutely energized, and they want to just kind of dampen things down and slow things down and remind people that they're in the team building phase of the rebuild. Yes, it's obvious the Montreal Canadiens are still in a rebuild, as hard as that is for some fans to and listen, a rebuild doesn't just refer to the time when you're at the bottom of the standings and you're picking first overall. But they're not at the stage where they're just going to be tinkering with the lineup. There are some key things, key priorities, as we said this summer, major things for them to be doing to follow along the rebuild plan that they're on.
So when asked with... The question was posed to both Jeff Corton and Kent Hughes. Okay, so if you're not accelerating the plan, if you've taken everything that's happened this season into consideration with a grain of salt and just basically kind of considered it as bonus experience, what are the big key off-season priorities for this year?
I'll go first there. I would say, you know, if you're just watching... If you just go on the playoffs, obviously, you know, compete, you know, adding players with some size, a little compete, some skill, obviously. So, listen, as we're building the team out, we're trying to get better in all areas, right? So we're not a finished product, but, you know, I think there's not one area of our team where we're saying we're done there. Right, so we'll continue to look at everything and try to build it out. But you know, I think everyone's talking about size and Washington and the way they played, and certainly we're aware of that. And as we move forward, you know, Kent and I have a lot of discussions about this. You know, size. You know, compete is really the biggest thing. You know, making sure that we have people that are comfortable in a playoff environment to play in all situations. There's really nothing we won't look at to try to improve it.
And I would say, you know, to along Jeff's comments about compete, we got a lot of young players who lived it for the first time. Some of them are big players. They just have to learn how to use their physical attributes to impact the game more in a playoff environment, and that's new for them.
This is fascinating, and there's a whole bunch in here to break down. Let's start at the top, and Jeff Corton said, you know, what they need is compete, size, skill, and oh, by the way, compete. the compete part, I know fans are focused on size, but for both Jeff Corton and Ken Hughes, it's the compete level. He went on to say that to remind people that they're not a finished product. There's still a lot of work to do. You heard Kent say that it for many of the young players, it was just making sure that they were comfortable in a playoff environment because it was the first time for many. And it's not that they necessarily have to go out and add a bunch of size. They have players... Yuri Slavkovsky, who have size that have to learn to use their size.
That's right.
And use it consistently. There was a few times they came back to subtly sending messages to certain players. Slavkovsky was one of them. And the Capitals were mentioned and specifically, and they have been discussed in the media that, oh, the Canadians can't compete because they don't have size. They got to get size to compete with the Capitals. I think that Jeff, well, both of them really, but particularly Jeff Gorton said, compete is the key, because what people don't realize is the Montreal Canadiens may not face the Washington Capitals. And who says the Washington Capitals are the template for what you need to succeed in the playoffs? So there's no sense spending your offseason building your team to face the Washington Capitals just because they're the ones that knocked you out of the playoffs. They aren't necessarily the template for success. They aren't the standard necessarily. We'll see. If they win the Stanley Cup, I'll change all of this. but yes, size has to be a component. Skill has to be a component. Defensive play, scoring, but compete level is going to be, it's going to underpin all of this, I think, in their decisions over the summer.
So should fans be expecting a big blockbuster summer?
I think when we said 2024 would be a big summer, I said 25 would probably be bigger. And I would assume that will continue to be the case until each subsequent summer, until we arrive and we feel like we've got a team that's capable of competing every year for a Stanley Cup. And I think we can all agree we're not, although we took strides, we're not there yet.
I snickered at that because, yes, last year, Kent Hughes said, yeah, it's going to be 2024, a big summer, but 2025, oh, that's going to be a real summer. So everybody now recalling that says, oh, the Canadians are going to have a huge summer, a big splash, free agency, trade. And Ken Hughes kind of walked that back a little bit, saying every summer from here on in is going to be big, and it's going to be bigger than the last until we get to a point where we're a team that's competing for the Stanley Cup every season.
So brace yourselves. We'll see what big summer really means. There's a lot of opportunities to do some things this summer. So, you know, what Kent Hughes' definition of a big summer is and what fans' definition of a big summer is could be two different things, or they could be pretty closely aligned. So we'll see what that ends up looking like.
And you need a dance partner, right?
Yeah.
Whether it be a player,
or maybe,
when you're
more than one dance partner.
Well, yeah, no. Whether you're engineering a trade, or whether you're trying to move up in the draft, or whether you're signing a free agent.
That's right.
They need a dance partner.
They do. Do they need a second line center?
Certainly we understand the question and the point of improving the second line as you watched our season. So it's not lost on us. If you're asking for an answer today, I would say we need more time to let it play itself out and see what happens. But there's other ways of improving your skill level and your top six. I think if you look around the league, there are teams that have players that aren't necessarily centers that are 100-point players that are driving lines and being very creative players. So there's more than one way to do this, and I understand, and I have fun reading your articles. It's not lost on us, what we have to do and where we have to go, but it's pretty hard for us to sit up here and say, yeah, this is what we're going to do. This is the player we've identified. So you understand that.
Again, you have to kind of decode what Jeff Gorton is saying. And a lot of people think that, that Jeff Gorton is just kind of the figurehead or whatever. We see him less, and for obvious reasons and language reasons and whatnot. You see Jeff Gorton much less than Kent Hughes, but it's Jeff Gorton's vision, and he's the guy who has the experience and has been through rebuilds elsewhere and has experience, has relationships. He kind of undersells himself by being kind of goofy sometimes in the press conferences. And I think there's a reason for that. Mm-hmm. And the reason is partly so that he doesn't reveal too much about the Canadiens' plans. And this question came up when a reporter said, well, there's been a lot of serious discussion and what the consensus is among the media and amongst all the fans is you need a second line center. And Jeff Gordon deadpan said, really? And everybody burst out laughing. And so he goes off and says, he talks about, well, there's different ways of approaching improving the situation. Maybe we don't go after a center. Maybe we go after a winger because there's teams that are, their second line is driven by a 100-point winger. Mm-hmm. Are the Canadiens serious about that? It's not, there's not that many, just a handful in the league. Are they serious or is Jeff Gordon just throwing in a little bit of a red herring here for the media to chase? Because another thing that he said at the beginning, he said, is this answer going just to you or is this being broadcast around the rest of the league? Again, which brought laughter, but he was making a serious point that, listen, we're trying to be as transparent as possible with you, but we can't.
But we have limits.
We can't broadcast our plans to the 31 other teams. You can understand that, can't you? And he said as much at the end of his response.
He did.
So when you hear answers like this, don't etch them in granite. There's different messages going out. And some of the things they can't talk about.
And a little bit of Boston snuck out when he said, and I read all of your articles. You heard it just for a second. It doesn't come out very often. Okay. So if he doesn't want to commit to whether or not they need a second line center, can Jeff Gordon at least identify some areas that need improvement?
There's a lot of areas that we need to improve to be a team that's still playing now. We could defend better, right? We need more scoring. We need to be bigger. We want to be more competitive. There's a lot there. Like I said earlier, we're far from finished product, I think. When we set out to do this, what we want to do is build a team that can compete for a Stanley Cup every year, right? And I know it's cliche, but we're getting there. We're not quite there, but, you know, it's a big summer. There's some things we need to do, but we do need to go through things as an organization and talk about exactly what you're talking about.
So again, if you haven't heard it up till now, yes, the Canadiens are still in a rebuild. There's lots of work left to do, not a finished product. They're not just tinkering around the edges. The areas that he identified very clearly that need improvement are big areas. We need to defend better. One, we need to score more. Two, got to add skill. We want to be more physical. We want more size. Three, and we want to be more competitive. And that's the only way, by addressing those four areas, that he said, if we were still competing now, and if we want to still be on the ice right now and playing games in the playoffs, we will have addressed those issues. And we want to go further. We want to compete for the Stanley Cup every single year. So there's lots of work to be done. And not a finished product. And those are defense, scoring, size, compete level. Those are all big, big areas to address and key priorities for the summer.
But how do you fill those needs, Jeff?
That's probably the million-dollar question is how to put these pieces together. How do we, you know, we have some players that we think are knocking on the door. You know, what kind of opportunity are we going to provide them? Can we wait out a summer and give them training camp to earn a spot? Those are the big questions that we deal with, I think, as we're moving this forward. So it's a good question. I don't, again, it's very hard to answer today. you know, as we watch Laval, we'll watch very closely to their playoff run here to see, maybe learn a little bit more here. But, yeah, I think Nick mentioned it a little bit in his final press conference with you guys, just talking about we all understand that it's possible we'll be younger, but we need to balance the youth part with experience too. So that'll be Kent's problem this summer, and I look forward to how he comes up with those answers.
Again, very disarming.
But that's probably one of my favorite responses of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because Ken even laughed like, yeah, thanks, Jeff. Thanks. It's my problem.
And we know you shouldn't take that Jeff Gorton's going to be on a beach somewhere. He's going to be involved, but publicly laying it's just to disarm people. And when you're talking about serious topics, because it's a big challenge. It's a huge challenge for the summer. In putting this all together, he described it as finding the right puzzle pieces. That's what they have to do. That's what they have to accomplish this summer. These priorities is figuring out how to put these puzzle pieces together. One, they have players in Laval knocking on the door. Mm-hmm. And earlier in the press conference, Kent Hughes said, we can't start adding people and, why has Laval been so successful this year? It's because, our prospects see opportunities and we can't shut that door, over the summer. We have to give them opportunities. And Jeff Gorton said the same. He also went back to saying, as he said, Nick Suzuki said, that the probability is the Montreal Canadiens are going to be younger next year. And we talked about why that is, and we talked about why that's a positive thing. Players may not think so, but for the development, for the rebuild, for the future of the organization, getting younger and involving prospects and integrating them into this core. You know, Jeff Gorton talked about all the talent coming, the way the nucleus was forming, and they can't just chase trades. They can't chase free agents. And in this clip said that they're still in learning mode. They're going to be following the Laval, their progress in the playoffs closely and learning more about their prospects. So all of this is going to, a strategy will develop over the summer and they'll make some decisions, whether there's something, you know, maybe there's a component that they don't have in Laval or they don't have with their prospects coming, and whether they're going to have to go out and address that in the summer. They're going to figure all that out, come up with a strategy, and try to implement it over the summer. It's a really big summer, big opportunities was kind of the theme from Gorton. And so you're going to want to be here with us. This is a really key offseason for the Montreal Canadiens.
And just like the point that I made towards the top of the segment about how it was nice to hear the kind of the reaffirmation that, no, we're not speeding anything up. We're sticking to the game plan. We have a good plan. It's been successful so far. We want to keep moving ahead. I was also pleased to hear Jeff Gorton say out loud, we're going to watch Laval really closely during their playoff run. There are guys down there who are really making a push, and there could be solutions that are sitting right there waiting for us to snap up and promote to the NHL. So once again, obviously we were hopeful that when they said development has to start taking a priority, that they were going to see that through. And it does seem that they are sticking to that. And that's a good thing, I think, for a healthy NHL organization. And so really, really great to see that. And yeah, the young guys down in Laval are doing a great job. We'll see who can compete during the playoff run and then in training camp. So this week, the question that we want to ask all of you this week, that we want you to send in your responses, is, when we talk about the Montreal Canadiens, what exactly would progress look like to you next season for the Montreal Canadiens? Let me repeat that. In terms of the Montreal Canadiens, next season, what would progress look like to you?
And maybe I can give some examples to let you know what we're looking for here. And it can really be anything. So, I mean, the Canadiens have just been through the playoffs. So I guess the first kind of natural reaction is, progress would be winning a playoff round or two next season. But it could also be progress could be, a couple of rookies got integrated into the lineup. David Reinbacher, Logan Mailloux, Owen Beck. Mm-hmm. That would be progress. Maybe there's a fan that would like to see, a listener that would like to see Suzuki win the Selke. That would be progress for them in his own personal journey. Maybe Juraj Slafkovský gets off to a great start. That would be progress. Maybe the Canadiens find their second line center, or maybe Kirby Dach is able to rebound and show some of his potential. Mm-hmm. What are the things that would demonstrate progress to you
next season for the Montreal Canadiens? Let us know. The best way to do that, send us a text on the Rocket Sports text line. That is 5853-ROCKET. Hit us up on social media at Habs Connection, X, Facebook, Instagram, or head over to our YouTube channel, InsideTheCanadiens.com, and drop us your response down in the comments on the video. And we'll pick out the best ones and read them next week on the show. All right, we are going to take our final break on this week's episode of the Canadiens Connection podcast. Up next, we are going to get you all set for what's coming up on the week ahead and get you all ready for our next episode. So stick with us. You are listening to the Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio.
Ready to win some real cash during the basketball playoffs? Check out Pick 6 from DraftKings. When it comes to basketball payouts, DraftKings Pick 6 posterizes the competition, including prize picks. Hit all your picks and score higher minimum payouts on Pick 6, plus even more cash if you outscore the competition. Pick 6 is available in most states, including Missouri, California, Texas, Georgia, and more. New players get $50 in Pick 6 credits instantly on just a $5 entry. So download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to play $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Better payouts, bigger wins, only with Pick 6 from DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. 1 per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
And welcome back to episode 347 of the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. We hope that you have been enjoying this week's episode. We've got lots more of this coming all summer and off season long. So don't think that we are going away. We are not. So we expect you to be back here every week as well. But we know it's summer. Well, not quite yet, but it's getting to feel like summer. And we know that you're going to get busy with vacations and holidays and being outside. So the best way to remember to tune in every week is if you're subscribed to the podcast. And that way you will automatically get it in your podcast feed. Or if you prefer to watch on YouTube and you subscribe on YouTube, just remember to tap the notification bell. And that way you'll get a notification every time a new episode comes out. And you'll never miss a week's worth of news and in-depth analysis about the Montreal Canadiens. Also, remember, we mentioned this last week, but in case you missed the news, that we had a really fun new announcement last week that we have a new home for our written content. It's going to launch soon, but there's already some content there. It's over at hockeyhotstove.com. Some really terrific professional writers and journalists from around the league getting together to bring coverage of every team in the NHL. And Rick, we are pleased to be the ones who get to bring the Montreal Canadiens coverage.
That's right. Rocket Sports will be the exclusive provider of Montreal Canadiens content for Hockey Hot Stove. As you said, we haven't had the balloons and cake yet.
No.
But there has been a soft launch, and so you're going to see content from myself, from Chris G. You want to get that content because it talks about the Laval in depth, about their playoff run. And also this podcast, the Canadiens Connection podcast, will be featured on Hockey Hot Stove. Go to hockeyhotstove.com to get stories from reporters across the league. If you want Canadiens content only, we've made it easy for you. Just check out Habs Hot Stove, habshotstove.com. Say it one more time, habshotstove.com.
And if you like chatting with other fans and the writers and so forth, maybe even some friendly debate and so, about your favorite hockey team, be sure that you check out the forums tab and just scroll down to the Montreal Canadiens on the forums tab. And there you will get to have, it's like an old style chat room where you get to have great conversations about all sorts of different topics around the Montreal Canadiens or any other team that you choose. But we certainly encourage you to join the Montreal Canadiens on the section of the forum page. And you'll find us in there from time to time chiming in on conversations as well. So be sure to bookmark that and check it out. And don't forget, send in your responses to this week's Canadiens Connection question of the week. In terms of the Montreal Canadiens, what would progress look like to you next season? We are really curious to see where your priorities lie and what you believe success and progress would look like next season. So be sure to get your answers in. We will choose your best responses and read them out to you on next week's show. And until then, we are just going to continue enjoying the World Championship Tournament. We're going to continue enjoying the playoffs. There are still some Canadian teams in the running. There's still that's been fun to watch. And just all sorts of good things while we're waiting for the next Canadiens Connection podcast, which will just be a week away, Saturday, May 17th. We want to see you back here. So thank you so much for listening. Thanks so much for joining us. It's going to be a fun summer ahead. We can't wait to share it with you. You have been listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadiens Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.